Once again, we join the American Family Robinson in Centerville. Miss Timmons got Windy Bill to give her back the deed to her property by telling him that a manufacturer wanted to buy his house car. So Windy sees fame and fortune ahead. Windy's bodyguard, the great Gus, or Gus the Gorilla, yielded to the entreaties of Dot McGillicuddy, who wants to reform him. He has attached himself permanently to the staff of the Centerville Herald as a starter at the bottom. Today we find editor Luke coming into the office of the Herald rather reluctantly.
Good morning, Miss McGillicuddy.
Good morning,
Miss McGillicuddy.
Good morning.
Has your protege arrived yet?
Oh, yes, Mr. Robinson. He's in your office. Mm. He was waiting on the doorstep when I came in.
I was afraid he would be.
Oh, it's such a satisfaction, Mr. Robinson. Better side of his nature come out like a flower. Like a flower unfolding, you might say.
Yes, Miss McGillicuddy. But in the meantime, have you considered just how he might make himself useful?
Oh, well, no, I hadn't thought.
Well, try it sometime. Great institution thinking.
Why, Mr. Robinson.
Hello, boss. What's the matter? You get delayed?
Delayed?
Sure, I've been waiting almost an hour.
Oh, that's too bad. If I had known you around. Do you mind taking this chair? The one you're sitting in is mine.
Okay.
I see you found my cigars. How do you like them?
Oh, they're all right.
Good. Now, you're determined to work on the Herald, are you? I'm interviewing you. I ask the questions. You give...
I know all the answers.
What can you do, if anything?
Well, now, that's a hard one. I can shoot pool. I was the best amateur pool player in Brooklyn.
Well, unfortunately, we haven't yet installed a pool department on this paper. Haven't you had any kind of experience?
Sure, lots of them. Once when I hopped a freight, my foot slipped.
No. I mean, have you ever worked?
Oh, that. Well, I was a bouncer once.
Well, that's fine. Any other kind of work?
Nope, only bodyguarding.
I know what you are. You're a boondoggler.
Hey, wait a minute.
No, that's quite all right. Quite respectable, I assure you. In fact, it's the latest thing. That's what you'll do, boondoggle.
Yeah, but how...
Personal, private boondoggler. I shall observe you, classify you. I may even write a pamphlet about you. From boondoggler to worker by easy stages.
Look, I don't get it. What is this? Boondoggle.
I didn't think you'd get it. I'll explain it to you. The public is supporting a lot of people. And some of those people want to work. There are more people than public jobs. So jobs have to be made up for them, like getting people to check up on people who are actually working. Or dancing lessons. That kind of job is boondoggling. And the people who do it are called boondogglers.
Yeah, but that ain't like me. I don't give dancing lessons.
No. The people I referred to are boondogglers by necessity. Oh, you're a boondoggler by choice. More difficult for the purpose of my research, but I think I can prove my point with you.
What point?
Well, just this, Gus. I reform legislation and undermine confidence were removed from business. Industry would yet be able to absorb them from a drain on the public pocketbook to constructive workers who would take an active part in making this country a better, more comfortable place to live in. Yes, sir? I have every confidence in you as a shining example of what industry can do if given a chance.
Well, boss, if you want to write about me, that's okay. But be sure to put in about the time I lasted two rounds with Wildcat Levinsky.
Maybe. I suppose you expect a salary.
Sure, I'm working, ain't I?
I hope so. Of course, I don't know what the prevailing wage for boondoggling is, but see. How about, we'll say $12 a week?
Oh, no, boss. No, that wouldn't be right.
No?
The little lady says if you start at the bottom, you get $10 a week. Now, if I was to get $12 a week, that'd be putting me off my stride at the beginning, and then how could I get to be a big shot with two telephones and a secretary? No, sir, $10 a week and the deal is off.
Well, very well. Of course, if you insist, $10 a week. Excuse me. Hello? Yes? Send her in. Well, this has been a charming interview, Gus, but you must excuse me now. You can find an empty desk out in the local room.
Yeah, but, boss, what am I supposed to do?
Do? Yes. Here's a book. You might read it.
Any pictures?
Well, I'm afraid not, but you like it. It's about Abraham Lincoln. He started at the bottom, too.
Don't say.
Yeah.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Robinson.
Good morning.
Oh, hello, Gus. That is Mr. Olson. Don't let me chase you away.
I gotta go. I gotta read a book.
Well, forevermore.
He's taking his duties seriously. Tell me, have you gotten your deed from Windy Bill?
Well, no. I told him I'd meet him here. Thought he'd be here by now. I decided it'd be best to have you around, and I finally had to tell him that there ain't no manufacturer that wants to buy the 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 house car. Goodness knows what he'll do.
Worry about Windy. He's a bluffer. He won't do you anyhow.
What's that, Luke? What did
you
say?
You were my brother, and she needn't be alarmed. She was afraid you wouldn't come.
Yeah. Is that all?
Yeah.
Well, as I came in, you know, you look just like a couple of conspirators.
Yes, well, have you got the deed?
You bet I have. Got my lawyer to fix up the transfer this morning. Here we are, all ready for you to sign, Miss Timmons. Letitia, you haven't changed your mind, have you?
No, I ain't changed my mind.
Good, and here's the pen, and you sign there, right on the dotted line.
Well, I guess it's all right.
Of course it's all right. Thaddeus P. Garble is the best lawyer in this state, and he drew it up.
All right, then. I'll sign it.
Fine. That's splendid. And, Letitia, I congratulate you on again becoming a landed proprietor.
Oh, thanks. Well, I'd better go now.
Just a minute. You forgot something. Just one little thing. The name of that manufacturer who's going to buy the house car.
Oh, yes. The name. What was the name, Miss Timmons?
Mm-hmm. His name? Mm. Oh, yes. Now, let me see now.
Miss Timmons, you haven't forgotten the name.
Well, I did have it. Right on the tip of my tongue.
Oh, think, woman. My dear Miss Timmons, do think. Come, Miss Timmons. Have you got it yet?
Well, I think he said it was, Joe Doakes.
Joe Doakes?
Yeah, that's it. I'm sure that was it. You see, he was standing as close to me as you are, and I remember that as
I suppose you had his address.
Well, you know, now, it was a funny thing about that. He was just about to give me his address when a young man come along and sort of led him away.
Oh, led him away? Well, what kind of a young man?
Oh, nice young man. Had a uniform on.
Miss Timmons, do you know what your manufacturer was? He was a lunatic.
For land's sake.
Oh, I'm ruined. Finished. Woman, do you know what you've done?
No, Wendy.
Oh, I demand that deed back.
Oh, no, you don't. Oh. That deed is right where it belongs.
I'm afraid you're stuck, Wendy.
Oh, it was a hoax, a trick. Luke Robinson, did you have a hand in this?
Well, it was my idea.
Oh, Judas, betrayer, I'll have the law on both of you.
No, there's no use getting excited, Wendy.
Oh, I demand justice. Oh, I should have known. I see it all now. Well, you won't get away with it. I'll see my lawyer.
You can't do this to Bill
Gus. Oh, Gus.
Oh, boss. Fine, what's the matter? Turned out to be Chiseler's posing as my friend.
Here you are. Gus. You used to be a bouncer.
Sure.
Well, here's your chance. Bounce.
That guy Winkle with pleasure. Come on, Winkle, you're going places.
Unhand me. I'll see my lawyer. Thaddeus P. Girl will have
fun. Well, Gus is doing a very neat job of it. He's doing a very neat job of it. He's doing a very neat job of it.
My gracious. Why, I never see a person move as fast as Bill Winkle's doing.
Well, Miss Timmons, I guess that settles the battle for the deed. Well, now that you got your property back, do you feel like selling it?
Oh, indeed I do, Mr. Robinson. Why, I couldn't live in the place after that Winkle's been in it. I'm going over right now and get my things out this minute.
Good, good.
Oh, Mr. Robinson, you know, I can never thank you enough. 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 You know, I can never thank you enough for what you've done.
Nonsense. It was a pleasure. Goodbye, Ms. Winkle.
Goodbye, Mr. Robinson.
Hey, boss, how was that?
Goodbye, Gus.
Goodbye, lady. And don't take no more wooden nickels. Hey, boss, see how I threw that guy out?
Yes, Gus, yes. A nice piece of work. Your form was very good.
Well, of course, I ain't exactly in training.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me, how are you getting on with the book?
Kind of slow way. Say, that reminds me. There was something else I wanted to ask you about.
All right. What is it now?
Well, this guy, Honest Abe. That was his fighting name, you know.
Oh, he wasn't a fighter. He was the president of the United States.
Sure, I know. But before that, I read in the book, he challenges this champ, Silver Tongue Douglas.
Oh, but that wasn't a fight. That was a debate. Never mind. Go on.
Well, after he moved away from this Gettysburg.
Moved away? Why, Gus, he didn't live in Gettysburg.
Now, look, boss, I read it in the book, didn't I? Lincoln's Gettysburg address. If he didn't live there now, how could he have an address?
An address is a speech. But go on, Gus.
Well, anyways, a couple of pages later, Abe Lincoln says, here it is. The prudent penniless beginner in the wild.
Oh, good heavens, you're murdering it. Here, let me read it.
Say, boss, I thought I was doing all right.
The prudent, penniless beginner in the world labors for wages for a while, saves a surplus with which to buy tools or land for himself.
Just like me, ain't it, boss?
Then he labors for himself another while, and at length hires another new beginner to help him.
He left out the two telephones.
This is the just and generous and prosperous system, which opens the way to all, gives hope to all, and consequent energy and progress and improvement of condition to all.
Yeah. Now, ain't that something, boss?
It certainly is. I'm a little surprised that you appreciate it.
Why, sure. Just think, a guy way back there, even before anybody heard of the National League. And he's got the same idea I got. That is, if I get it straight, you wait for somebody else a while, and you wait for yourself a while, and then you hire a lot of people to wait for you.
That's right. Of course, Mr. Lincoln was visualizing a workable system for the whole nation that would give its people freedom of endeavor and unlimited opportunity. Yes, Gus, you've stumbled across a perfect answer to the theorists who would send it all crashing down to make way for regimentation, supervised endeavor, the death of freedom, and a future that holds nothing for our children but a treadmill in a vast machine.
Gee, boss, did I do all that?
Well, you found the answer, even though you're not the author of it.
And I'm pretty good, huh? Mm-hmm. And you like me well enough to keep me on till I get through with the wages part?
I like you fine, Gus. And in time, I may even learn to love you.
And that's how the Centerville Herald came to be the proud possessor of a genuine, live boondoggler. Well on the way to becoming a useful citizen. Poor Windy Bill is out in the cold again, however. His promotion scheme in ashes about his feet. And with an unsaleable house car on his hands. Knowing him as we do, though, we can be sure he's not down for long and will soon be popping up with a bigger and newer scheme for making money without bothering to work for it. Meantime, Betty and Dick Cullen's honeymoon at Devil's Gulch is almost at an end, and they should be heading back to Centerville and new adventures as Mr. and Mrs. Join us in our next program and see what happens. Until then, goodbye. The American Family Robinson, which is broadcast regularly over this station, is written by Douglas Silver and Marjorie Bartlett. directed by Martha Atwell and produced by the National Industrial Council.